You are listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. This talk was given at 2214 South Broad Street. For more information, check out circleofhope.net or join us in person on Sunday evenings at 5 and 7 p.m.
I was thinking this week how we really want the universe to make sense, right? But it really just doesn't. As much as we try, things are kind of way out of control from our perspective in a lot of ways, and things don't make sense in the world. I was talking with my kids last night about the lockdown drills that have been happening at their school all week, throughout all the schools in Philadelphia, I'm sure. My son's high school had them every day throughout the week, which he actually thought was a great break from classwork. But apparently with a lockdown, everybody is supposed to get under desks or behind things and out of way of the door, out of range from the door. And the teacher turns off the lights and locks the door, and everybody is silent and pretends like they're not there. One day, Zach had a substitute teacher who forgot to lock the door. And when the security guard came by to do the check, he dryly peeked his head in the room and said, "You're all dead." So things are out of control in the world. It doesn't make sense that in a country in peacetime, the kids have these gunfire lockdown drills in school every day. I think the chaos of the world can get our already wounded hearts, fearful minds spinning. We're already bogged down by fears and habits that got installed in us a long time ago. So it's not hard to get triggered by these external things that are happening, and then to live at a certain level of inner chaos and anxiety and sadness all the time. Like, 1 in 4 adult Americans now take psychotropic medication. That's 25%. And I think it's because our past and our present has a very concrete effect on our understanding of reality. Add Jesus into that picture, though, and things change, I think. Jesus, who brought a kingdom of peace and who said, "This kingdom of God is here now. It's inside you. It's bigger than your fear. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart," the Apostle Paul said. So Jesus, who sees us much more from a future perspective than from the past. We talk about how Jesus followers are the presence of the future, this a glorious, hope-filled future for the whole world. So how do we turn around from our fear and live in that reality where the future is this restored heaven and earth? How does that reality inform our present experience? I think we need to take a deeper look at what's going on, who we are and who we serve. We need to keep turning. We need to keep changing our minds. And that's really the invitation of Lent, to get our minds changed, to get our minds transformed. That's what we need, I think. But that's not easy. Changing our minds isn't easy. The Greek word for turning is metanoia, which means repenting, changing our minds, turning around. And when it's personified, metanoia is this shadowy, sorrowful woman there on the right who accompanies Kairos, this guy. And Kairos means opportunity, now. And together they sow these seeds of regret for the missed moment, and they inspire change. And I like this image because I think it means that our failure to seize the moment is the thing that actually helps us to seize the moment. Our failure is not just reason to regret. It's this crucial, precious part of us that opens us up to opportunity. So repentance comes with opportunity. And I think that's what we're working on during Lent. Transformation of our minds involves letting God touch our sense of failure or loss or limitation and work with that. I think we need to let God redefine us and the way that we look at ourselves and others, especially around our limitations. It's often when the ego is most deconstructed, when our ego is most kind of wiped out, that we can hear things anew and we can begin some honest reconstruction in dependence on God. And that's what Lent is for. We need to fall down in order to get back up. Lent and all of the Christian life really is this beautiful opportunity, I think, for embracing failure as the very thing that can help us meet Jesus and become more like him in the unique ways that only each of us can do. So nothing reminds me of this particular truth like the greatest leadership movie ever made, The Lion King. In case you haven't watched it since 1994, I want to play you a clip that I think really gets to the heart of this human problem. If you remember the movie, the evil Uncle Scar was really jealous of the king, of the Lion King's power. And so he puts Simba, the little heir to the throne, in harm's way so that predictably his father comes and rescues him and gives Scar a chance to kill the king, which he does. And so little Simba runs to his father and discovers that he's dead in this clip that I want to show you. And he begins to grieve. But his grief at this terrible tragedy is cut short by this lie of shame that Uncle Scar puts right in there in that moment. And this kind of gets implanted and repeated by Simba into his adulthood. So the moment is like, instead of the acknowledgement of this great loss that this little guy is experiencing and the comfort he needs, Simba gets isolation and blame instead, and that sends him far away from his true self for a long time.
There will be a reason he tried to save me. It was an accident. I didn't mean for it to happen.
Of course you didn't. No one ever means for these things to happen. But the king is dead. And if it weren't for you, he'd still be alive. What will your mother think?
What am I gonna do?
Run away, Simba. Run. Run away and never return. Kill him.
So I think this is just such an iconic situation that happens on some level for most human beings. I'm sorry, you got a therapist for a pastor, but it's Lent, and we just have to go here because I think our wounds hold a sacred key to understanding our salvation and really living into the future with Jesus. We've got a lot of wounds, but probably one really core one that gets played out in our relationships and behaviors until we can let God work with it. So at any rate, the kid Simba doesn't even get to grieve the hard thing that has happened to him because blame and judgment comes in. Scar says, "Simba, what have you done?" And in that moment, the loss is covered up by the guilt or whatever it is that starts us running from the too painful reality of our lives, and so we escape into all the Hakuna Matata, no worries kind of stuff until we can't anymore. And eventually Simba comes face to face with the loss and the failure of his escape, and it happens through the conflicts of love, of course, and he's led to take the kingdom back from the evil powers and live into his true self. And I love how in the ending scene of this movie, he's like walking up on the council rock, not in this like glorious sunset scene with everybody cheering, but in like the gray rain of the day as the like ruins of the kingdom are kind of smoldering below him. And I think that's way more how life is, that failure brings him back. Metanoia walks with opportunity. And Christianity is the only religion in the world that works with failure in a way that requires it for transformation. It's the cross, and Jesus does it for us. I think it's absolutely mind-blowing that God can take our death and tragedy and failure and loss and turn it into new life. So I think we need to lose our judgment this Lent about ourselves and others in a way. We need to go deeper than our resentments and our denial and whatever other reactions we have about our own failure and about other people's failures, and be open to the invitation of God. What can God do with this mess, I think, is a good question. Every mess is an opportunity for something new and beautiful to emerge. And we need to be open to that new way of seeing. We've been working with this story of Jesus healing a man's blindness in John 9. I think this story is so cool because Jesus deals with the physical blindness and the spiritual blindness, as we're gonna discover later in Lent. Last week we talked about Jesus' futuristic answer to the question of suffering. Like, why was this man born blind? They ask him. And Jesus' answer is so mysterious and so future-oriented. He says this happened so that the power of God could be revealed in him. And I think that's really the heart of our message this Lent. That one line is probably worth meditating on for 40 days. This happened so that the power of God could be revealed in him. But this week, I want to focus on the strange way that Jesus heals this man's actual eyes. You can read it as I'm talking here. You probably already know it, though. He spits on the ground. Jesus spits on the ground, and he gathers some of the dirt there, and he makes this mud paste, and he sticks this spitty mud on the guy's eyes and tells him to go wash. So first, Jesus establishes that the blindness is not the guy's fault or his parents' fault or anyone else's. And I think that's the judgment that we need to lose. Our way is often to go straight to shame and blame, probably connected to those wounds that we received as kids. And Jesus says, no, there's a bigger opportunity at stake here. So I hope we can find some space this Lent to get beyond the shame and the blame for us, for our families, for our coworkers, for our neighbors, and consider how the power of God might be seen through whatever mess is going on. Because it really is a mess. It is a mess. The tragedy of the world, like the gunfire lockdown drills. Huge injustice and discrimination that is perpetuated by corporate power. The tragedies of our lives are a mess too. There's great losses to grieve. We all have them. Opportunities that we've missed. Ways that we're stuck in that blame and shame and judgment. And I think Jesus acknowledges this mess by spitting on the ground. By spitting in some dirt on the ground. I like that he doesn't try to pretty up the situation, even in the healing. He gets in the dirt to make some mud with the spit, and this is the only time that we have Jesus doing a healing this way. He uses saliva at other times, but never with dirt. So why dirt? I was asking myself, and it kind of reminds me of the creation story when Jesus formed people, according to the story, from the dust of the ground. Creation. And so I wonder if Jesus is saying, look, I'm going for total recreation here, starting over. From dust you came, and from dust you will return, but in the meantime, you need to be remade. You need freedom from your spiritual blindness, from the way that it bothers you, that others judge you, and the way you judge yourself. I can make you new. I think Jesus is saying. But that process isn't clean and easy and sanitary, as we know. It's hard and messy, and we will get dirty. We need to be touched with dirt in order to be changed. We need to fail. The spiritual life doesn't happen in some kind of antibacterial container that keeps us safe from pain. I think the invitation from God is to work with our pain, in order to have it transformed by God and to be used as fuel and evidence of the power of God. Creation is messy and dirty. We started a play school here in the fall, directed by Gail Sesniak, and a rental business out of 1125 South Broad, where we used to meet, that's being directed by Andy Gill. I like this picture from this week because some of the boys have been so into superheroes that they tackled Gail one day, and she was such a good sport about it. But our purpose for these creations is to help us pay for our spaces and continue to meet and touch more people with the opportunity of Jesus. But it hasn't been easy to get something new started, to get through our fears around starting a childcare business, what with all the terrible things that happen to kids and the liability, and how to deal with zoning and the regulations. It takes time to create the infrastructure for a good business and patience to deal with one relationship at a time. But that's what it's about, relationships. Andy was brand new to Circle of Hope when he came and helped us start Circle Spaces. A couple of weeks ago, Gail, here's what made me think about this in connection to the guy being blind and creation being messy. A couple of weeks ago, Gail had a dream that she was giving birth, and it was a dry birth, and the doctors were telling her how hard it was going to be. And she told me, "I'm so old, so I know this dream is not about me." That struck me as true. Creation isn't easy, but it is exciting. And in trying things that are hard enough to require God, we make space for God's Spirit to move among us in powerful ways, and for new friends to be included in this redemption movement. So we have a new little guy starting at Circle Kids tomorrow, and we're going to keep trying. I told you all of that in hopes that you'll be praying and helping with the growth of these baby creations that we're working on, but also that we'll keep working with whatever hinders us, each of us, from becoming these new creations this Lent. One of my cellmates this week sent us all this song by Avid Dancer called "All Your Words Are Gone." Matt sent it to us. And I offer it to you as I close here as some joy and levity in this difficult process of losing our judgment so we can see the opportunity to change like Jesus. The guy who sings this song is an ex-Marine, and so he's working on doing something new with his life. The video might be the most hipster thing you've ever seen in your entire life. This is as joyful and hopeful as hipsters get. But check out the Easter colors. And more than that, check out the point. The title of the song is "All Your Words Are Gone." I think that some of us might have had terrible things said to us as kids that have really impacted us. But the words of shame and blame and judgment that have the most power over us now are the ones that we unconsciously repeat to ourselves. This is the judgment. That is the judgment that Jesus would like to undo. The lies of shame that keep us stuck in "it's our fault," even when that moment is way past and something new could happen if we could move into the future with Jesus. And he is the only one who can actually help us do what the song is suggesting. So check it out. Metanoia Walks with Opportunity.
All your words are gone. All your words are gone. Take them far away. Take them far away. Wash that sin away. Wash that sin away. Throw away all things not worth leaving. Open your eyes and start believing. All
He's trying to get somewhere with Jesus too.
Thanks for listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. If you want to talk about it or get connected to a cell, you can find one under our Connect drop down at circleofhope.net.